You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
He's excited.
Okay.
Too much coffee. 2.7 WMDX. Okay, settle down. Good
morning, Madison. That's way too much coffee right there.
Yeah, really.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm exhausted just listening to that.
I know.
This is Johnny Gordy in the morning. We've got so many new stories to get to as well. I just want to remind you that we're going to talk about Antifa in just a few moments.
Yeah, and coming up in a half hour, Jesse Christensen will join us talking about some of the cannabis laws that the legislature is thinking about.
Yeah, the hemp thing didn't go as they thought it would, and a lot of people are now able to get high.
Right.
But it's who can get high, and that's the big problem. The marketing is all wrong at this point. We'll talk about that later on.
Hey, we want to remind you, you can go to WMDXradio.com and win your dinner from us and Sugar River Pizza. Every week, we give you a chance to win a $50 gift card from Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie. Of course, they won this year, the Best of Madison. Congratulations to them. They're celebrating, and we'd like to celebrate, too. So get your entry in. Just go to our website, WMDXradio.com. Go to the carousel at the top and click on Win Your Dinner from WMDX and Sugar River Pizza. We throw out the entries every week, once a week. We draw a winner, so you have a chance every week
to
enter and win.
Okay. Sounds like fun.
And it's great pizza, too.
Watching the monitor here, and they were talking about import taxes. You know, the tariffs are really getting in the way of maybe even people buying new cabinets for their kitchen.
What?
A lot of people go out there and they look around for the best bargain they can get on kitchen cabinets.
Right.
And a lot of the least expensive cabinets are imported.
Okay. Yeah.
And because of the tariffs now, they're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And people are having a very difficult time choosing now cabinets that are way too expensive for their budget, you know, which is another problem. The thing here is we've got a guy who is making billions of dollars. Forget about the emoluments clause, you know, just forget
that's
about
out
that.
The window. Yeah.
That's out the window.
Nobody's.
The guy is making money hand over fist,
right.
And he thinks that everybody else will just want to pay a lot for everything that they do at their homes and their personal lives. Doesn't matter about the price. At least, you know, everything is in place the way he has planned it. Because tariffs, that's the way the economy should run. Anyway, a lot of people are being hurt by this, and it's really, truly unfortunate. Now, they want to get rid of liberals. They want to get rid of the left. They want to get rid of protesting. And this has been something that Republicans have been trying to do since the 60s protests against the war.
Right.
And now they finally have the secret to that, and that is, you know, putting ICE out there, putting the National Guard out there, and then arresting anyone and putting the warning out there that if you push back at all, you'll be arrested at full force of the law.
Right.
And that's very scary at this point. Now, of course, they've gone out and they're looking for a network on the left. And that network would be, I guess, people who fund left organizations, right?
Okay.
Now, that's crazy because that is something that kind of conflicts with the First Amendment. A little bit, you know, association maybe. Anyway, and free speech. So they are trying to create something called, you know, that Antifa, the fascist movement against them, you know, anti-fascist movement against them. So they want to vilify people who are fighting fascism. Now, a little caveat here, and it's a little confusing, but my mega friend in Milwaukee truly believes, and maybe even CJ truly believes, and have been convinced by the administration that liberals, the left, are fascists. That's
Really?
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's a stretch, isn't it?
No, it isn't for them. They think we're the fascists. So when you have an anti-fascist group, anyway, it's all very mind-numbing and confusing. Anyway, this ad I thought was just incredible. It's surreal. It's a White House video vilifying anyone who opposes fascism. Now, that's the crazy part. Again, they think that we're the fascists, but they're the fascists, and they are trying to vilify people who are fighting fascism.
Who's your fascist?
Where am I going with this? No idea. Remember, none of these Trump appeasers have immunity for their anti-American actions, so they're going to get theirs soon. But let's go to cut 103. Let's listen.
Antifa beats journalists. Antifa attacks our police stations. They attack our courthouses. They dox our law enforcement officers. No more. They are a terrorist group, and we are coming after them.
We are here at the White House today to unmask Antifa, to follow the money all the way to the top. If you want to get to the bottom of who is fomenting this chaos and violence in our country,
they're just protesters.
You must follow the money.
I was a mainstream reporter in Seattle for 10 years before I quit mainstream media, in part due to its refusal to acknowledge the dangers of Antifa and radical left-wing violence.
Part of the problem that we have is that a lot of people refuse to believe that Antifa is real. It is just a made-up thing, but I have seen them. They are real,
wow.
They are dangerous, and they are violent.
They are an organized, systemic, international criminal enterprise. And what the FBI is going to do is trace the money, follow the funds, and find every single person that was involved in funding the riots and the violent acts of criminality that they are perpetrating on our street.
I've watched Antifa brutally beat, harass, and threaten Americans in the street, but all of that ends with the Trump administration.
Wow. I was brutally attacked and almost killed by Antifa in the streets of Seattle. All of my colleagues have been attacked. I can't think of a single one who hasn't. Violence against journalists and police officers in our streets can't stand.
Just days ago, I was in the Portland jailhouse,
yes.
And now I'm in the White House. This administration is built different, and Antifa's days are numbered.
And I want to thank President Donald Trump for designating Antifa a terrorist organization, and I'm looking forward to the FBI and the DOJ hunting down these people like the terrorists that they are.
All I gotta say, it's a bad day to be Antifa.
And Antifa's days of using violence and intimidation against their political opposition are over.
And I've continued to report on them over the years despite the threats of violence and actual violence that's happened, because I owe a thank you to this country, the United States, for settling my parents who were victims of communism in Vietnam.
1 month ago, Charlie Kirk was murdered by a violent leftist. We all saw it, and we all saw thousands of leftists celebrate it. Antifa symbols were found on the bullet casings of the gun used to shoot and kill my friend.
That didn't happen.
And we won't take it anymore. President Trump is not going to stand for it. And I'm so grateful that we have a leader in the White House that understands how we need to fight these sophisticated networks and how we need to take these terrorists out.
Yeah. I've been attacked by Antifa, doxxed by Antifa, harassed by Antifa.
Oh, no.
But we're not standing down. We're now coming for you.
Oh, boy. See? They're coming for me.
I'm flashing back to the 60s, John, right now.
Yeah.
Remember SDS?
Yes.
The Students for Democratic Society. And how that was
the villain.
Boy, we got to look out for it. And it really didn't amount to much. What are we looking at?
Who do we have down in the street?
Oh, we've got a protester out on the street.
All right. There he is. All right.
Is that CJ? Is that CJ?
He's calling.
Wait a minute. He's on the phone.
He's on the corner of the
street. He's on the corner of Fairchild and State Street, waving an American flag.
In a suit.
And he's got a MAGA hat on, it looks like. CJ, is that you out there?
God bless you guys. The greatest peacemaker strikes again. 8 wars ended. 8.
That's not true. None of that's true. But there you are.
You want me to read them off?
No, but why are you out in the street on the corner in Madison? What are you doing?
He's in front of our station
here. I just want the truth to be told, because you only tell part of the truth.
Okay.
All right, well.
The greatest peacemaker in the history of our country.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
That's great.
He just solved Israel-Hamas war. right?
Yeah, we solved it.
We got a peace deal, guys. Hostages came home.
Yeah.
I just want you to at least tell the American people about it and your listeners. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you just did.
It's amazing.
You just did
that. Here it is, baby.
You and Bill Clinton and Joe Biden and congratulated the Trump administration.
So important.
I know. Yeah. Well, you know, Biden did a big prisoner release and ceasefire as well. Do you remember that?
No, I watched him build 300,000 troops on the border of Ukraine and then invade, and he did nothing, kind of like Obama.
All right. All right. Well, this is a great effort on your part to go out on the street where we see a lot of street people screaming into the air as well. But what are you going to do now? Are you going to go up to the Capitol? Are you going to wave the flag up there?
Yeah, I'm going to walk around the Capitol a few times.
Oh, okay.
You know, you guys used to be so nice to me, but now you cut me off. But I do.
We're not cutting you off.
We're not going to. You always call right before we have a commercial break.
20 hostages came home after 2 years.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
We did hear that.
20 hostages.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you know, I just want you to let your listeners know because you went down on the story.
Well, we still have freedom of speech, CJ.
But you guys are missing the celebration.
That's true. We missed the big story, CJ. Thanks. Thanks for the call in. Boy, that's quite the effort out there.
All right, CJ. All right, he's out there waving the American flag. He's all dressed up in a suit and a tie, and he's got the MAGA hat on. He's got another hat there. He's okay. Now he's proceeding up State Street. Now he's crossing over.
Studio?
Okay. I don't know. All right, Tom, did you get a little video, get some pictures? Okay. Interesting. All right.
I'm not sure which way he's...
There he goes. Going to the parking ramp where it'll collapse in just a few moments.
All right. I don't know. Wow. Well, that was interesting.
Well, didn't expect that. I apologize to every listener out there who had to deal with that. I know I will probably have nightmares tonight. He looked very presentable, didn't he?
I know. He's all dressed up in a suit and a tie. Yes. And he said he was heading up to the Capitol, but he went the other direction. So
yeah,
now
I saw him go straight straight.
Now, I want to assure Kurt and also Bart, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, we didn't plan that, and it just happened, and you put a lot of effort in, so I just, I felt a little obligated to put him on the air.
Well, I mean, you know, we like to report on what's happening on State Street. I mean, we're right here, right where the Capitol is, so...
Yeah.
You know, when anything breaks out, we break in with coverage.
Zach in Sun Prairie says Trump could say he cured cancer and CJ would believe it.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
we have Charles on the line
here. Let's go to Charles.
Yes. Charles, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm sure that was a sight to see.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess I would look at CJ a little differently if he gave credit to Joe Biden. 120 some hostages were released when Joe Biden was president.
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm.
Second of all, Bibi Netanyahu didn't want to make a deal with Joe Biden because Joe Biden is not a crook. Trump is. One of the things that Trump said yesterday was Bibi Netanyahu needs to be pardoned.
Yeah.
Pardoned for what? He's a crook. We don't need to pardon a crook. So Bibi Netanyahu was not going to make a deal with Joe Biden because he knew that Donald Trump would be his beaten drum to not go to prison for the crimes that him and his wife committed.
That's a big story right there, Charles. Thanks for the call. That's exactly right.
Good.
Very good. Thanks for giving us a call on that.
19 minutes past the hour, 608-879-8255. We'll take more of your calls and more of the show coming up after this timeout.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning, Dom at the controls. And I just want to say that Dom took some pictures of CG out on the corner. We're going to post those just to give a little visual of what we experienced here, this trauma that we went through this morning.
Just go on Facebook, John and Gordy in the morning. It's right there. And we'll have it up.
All right.
We'll post that as soon as we can.
Well, let's we have some reaction to it as well. Doug in St. Francis says, so has Stephen Miller made some kind of deal with WMDX that you guys can stay on the air if you accommodate CJ? I thought Doug, we kept that under wraps. Yeah. I did not know that got out. Oh, well.
Well, we still have freedom of speech, sort of.
And then Kurt says, is the village idiot gone yet?
Yes, he's left. He's headed up toward the Capitol. Just a fair warning
and
for
Marco,
everybody up there.
What happens when the peace deal falls apart and Israel and Hamas start fighting again?
Yeah.
And Bibi wasn't there. You know,
he didn't
found an excuse not to go.
Yeah.
Can you go down a little bit? Yeah, and Kurt, of course, says, a commercial.
He wanted a break from it. Yeah.
Anybody can
come out here in the morning. I mean, I'm not suggesting that you do. You do what you want to do, but we had CJ out there. We can get some of our own, we get other listeners out there.
Which is amazing. I mean, it's just proactive.
Yeah, we've got a good line of sight here from from our vantage point at the corner of Fairchild and State Street. So, CJ did it. You can do it too.
Well, in Portland, the 100 or so nude bikers showed up and protested the ICE facility there. It was raining and everybody was like naked on bikes.
Maybe we can get some naked people out here.
Thank goodness CJ was dressed in a suit.
Yes, yeah, suit and tie.
Let's
you look very dapper,
consider ourselves
actually.
Very lucky.
Yeah.
We were talking about Antifa and how the administration is making it look like everybody who now protests are part of an organization, a network of anti-fascist, Antifa.
Right.
And the mind-blowing thing is they're making it seem like fascism is good and anti-fascism is bad.
Right.
That you're a terrorist. Well, look, let's play this, just a little bit of this, cut 105. It's a long clip, but I want to play just a little section of a description of Antifa. Let's listen here.
On Wednesday night, U.S. President Donald Trump said he would designate Antifa as a major terrorist organization. So what is Antifa? The word is short for anti-fascist in a number of languages. Now, Antifa is sometimes referred to as a group, but experts say it's more of a movement or orientation.
It's a specific international anti-fascist politics of pan-radical left, bringing in different kinds of socialists and anarchists and other leftists in coalition to fight back against fascism in the far right from the bottom up.
And this movement isn't new.
Anti-fascism as a movement, it goes back, of course, to the formation of fascism in Italy, Benito Mussolini in 1919, and the opposition to his party. And then, of course, from there, opposition to fascism in Italy, Nazi Germany, in Spain during the Spanish Civil War, World War II.
The North American version of the Antifa movement formed in the 1980s.
That kind of militant anti-fascist politics really made its appearance in the U.S. with the creation of the Anti-Racist Action Network in the U.S., Canada, and to a small extent in Latin America.
There you go. Okay. Black Lives Matter, also a part of the anti-fascist movement, and that's why we know about Antifa.
There you go.
Again, just turning reality on its head, fascism good, anti-fascism bad. Okay. All right, now let's get to a cut here. This is Joe Rogan and Tim Miller. They have a few comments about it. Tide is turning on immigration as the administration chases ghost organizations and Antifa unicorns to distract from their rolling out fascism. So let's play a little cut from this. This is The Bulwark's Tim Miller and featuring Joe Rogan.
When you're just arresting people in front of their kids and just normal, regular people that have been here for 20 years, that everybody who has a heart can't get along with that.
No.
Everybody who has a heart sees that and goes, that can't be right. That can't be right. That can't be the only way to do this.
Right.
Because you have to think, look, yeah, we have to have a border. Yes, it should have been secure. Yes, they should make sure you know who everybody is before they get in.
Yeah.
But when people been here for 20 years, like, come on. That's crazy. Like,
yeah.
Let's find a way. If they've been productive members of society for 20 years, no criminal record, they worked the entire time, they paid taxes. Find them a pathway to citizenship. Find a way where you can do this thing that you want to do, which is keep terrorists and cartel members from getting across the border with drugs that kill 100,000 people a year. Okay, but also have a fucking heart. Because if you don't, you're not going to get anybody on your side. If you're doing this stuff publicly, throwing women to the ground, handcuffing people just for existing on the wrong side of the dirt.
Yeah.
Not a criminal. Not the only crime they ever committed was coming over here as a kid.
Yeah.
They probably didn't even know what the f*** was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You know, a lot of kids got snuck across when they were already born in Mexico. And they've grown up their entire life in America. They can't even speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And they could get sent back. This is crazy.
Okay, there. Let's. So you get an idea that Joe Rogan's kind of flipped on this as well. Let's go to Troy.
Troy, we just have a minute here. Yeah. Go ahead.
Want to get your phone call.
Yeah, I love how the funniest person on news radio is now against Trump, I guess, the guy he put into power. Mm-hmm. And you can speak out against what's going on now, but you voted for this because you knew the bad stuff was going to happen, and you knew the bad stuff was going to turn on people, and you voted for it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sorry,
appreciate that, Troy. Yeah, thank you.
We're up against the clock here.
That's true.
Yeah, thank you for that call. Coming up after we check in with the Midwest Food and Farm Report, we have Jesse Christensen from Cannabis DNP talking about some of the new laws that are floating up in the Capitol there about THC and everything else. Coming up on John and Gordy.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning.
Weather for today, highs in the mid-60s. Right now, we're in the upper 40s, and we'll see increasing clouds through the day. Maybe some rain on the way for tonight. And we welcome back Jesse Christensen from Cannabis DNP. Good to see you again, Jesse.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
We're doing all right.
There you go. I don't know why you keep inviting me back, but here I am.
Well, we only had a few minutes to talk to you a couple of weeks ago, it was, but we wanted to talk to you a little bit more about some of the legal ramifications, some of the laws that are being discussed up at the Capitol, a block away from us. And
yeah, because in Ohio, the governor there, Mike DeWine, set in motion a ban on a lot of these products that are over the counter at this point for a lot of these shops. By the way, he calls it a temporary ban.
Sure.
Which at this point, as long as it keeps going, it's going to put a lot of shops out of business. Well, they got to hide the product. They can't sell the product or else they get fined.
Now, was this the case where they looked like candy products?
Yes, this was.
The packaging was really the problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and it looks just like kids' candy and boxes of cereal. It really was pretty outrageous and should never have happened in the first place.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It comes down to packaging. I know in Minnesota, especially, part of the rules and regulations is to make sure that it doesn't look like something for children.
Yes.
Right.
So that's where the packaging comes into play, and that also comes in with that safety of, well, children are buying this without even knowing it. It's like, well, I've heard some stories, but I don't really see it everywhere. Mm-hmm. But if it does happen in Ohio, I'm sure there's a reason behind the ban for that.
Oh, yeah. And they're trying to come up with a law in order to change the marketing down there. But again, in the interim, these shops aren't going to be able to sell anything, and then they'll go out of business. So it's kind of the death knell for that industry in Ohio, at least at this point. And it could take months, could take a year. Who knows how long?
Right.
So what's happening in Wisconsin? You've been talking to some people around the Capitol,
right? This popped up because of a bill. Who was the representative that was pushing this thing? Brill?
The complete prohibition was from Senator Brill. That was based on isolated events that happened in Stoughton with that pizzeria that we briefly touched on last time I was here.
Yeah.
So they want complete prohibition from any psychoactive, psychotropic cannabinoids such as THC, Delta 9. And then there's another one that other senators are kind of pushing towards, with Senator Felskowski and a few of her other Republican counterparts, where there's more of a regulatory medical program. And that one is about 70 pages, and I got to kind of thumb through it and read through it and ask questions on it. Either one doesn't seem like it's going to have enough steam to get anywhere. And even if it does, what was voiced to me was the governor wouldn't even sign it anyways. So we just keep going on with this prolonged hemp products, no real marijuana program. So we're just kind of stuck.
So why don't they think any of this will move through the legislature? Why is that? I mean, are they proposing government-run facilities where you can buy the product through them? Is that part of the roadblock?
Part of it, it's very restrictive. Okay. So they don't allow any smokable, any flower, anything of that nature, which Minnesota did the same thing, and then they had to retract and walk back and then add flower into their program because you do need different routes of administration. Edibles and oils can only last for so long, and they take time to kind of kick in, where if you have like an acute episode, inhalation is the best route, the best manner to, to get that relief. So it's very restrictive on that point. The other aspect is, well, this is supposed to be for the community, right? You're supposed to be able to work with mom and pop and brick and mortar. Well, there's some language in there that it didn't really sound like that once you read through the actual document. You needed to have a pharmacist on every site. Well, not every site is going to pay six figures for a pharmacist to be there. So this just opens up the door for more of a monopoly on larger companies and remove kind of the smaller mom and pop brands that are doing really good work, that are selling regulated products, that are selling tested and thoroughly researched products compared to some of the things that were happening in Ohio. So that would just also remove them from our atmosphere as well.
Now, there are about a dozen dispensaries along State Street. And I know there's, I mean, we went out and counted them.
Yeah,
right?
I remember that last time I was here.
And then, and around the city, you know, you see them popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
So they must be doing okay business-wise.
Sure, sure.
And now, do they have an association? I mean, do you guys get together and talk about this? Is there a loosely based organization to talk about the laws and...
So there are communities such as the Wisconsin Cannabis Activist Group that, you know, there are people that talk and get together and try to formulate plans and strategies to come up with new bills or how can we make business more of a community. The other thing is, too, there really isn't a huge business get together that I'm aware of. But I know that some people have been starting to talk about getting business owners together and actually talking about the layout of the land, I guess you could say. I'm not overly familiar with that aspect of it. I get to work with everybody who chooses to work with me, and that's where I get to benefit by talking with everybody, as opposed to just worrying about one location.
Now, the last time you were here, and we didn't have time to talk about it on the air, you mentioned you were part of an organization, and you were talking to other people about what's going on nationwide.
Yeah.
Well, what's the story in that?
So, because of my business model, my plan, I like to maintain relevancy in the medical field. That's what my background is. That's where my healthcare professionalism comes from. And that's where I started this business, was to help people that have medical needs. So I wanted to continue to get certified and continue to gain relevant information. So I started becoming a part of different programs, such as the Association of Cannabinoid Professionals and Society of Cannabis Clinicians, and then also the Americans for Safe Access. And then I get to be a part of MedHelwana, which is an Australian-based network. And I get to listen to lectures from Israel and Canada, and I get to learn from everybody. And it's very interesting to me that there's so much information out there that sometimes we just have too much.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of data from all over the world. Now, it just depends on who are you as a practitioner that is able to put that into practice. Mm.
And what is your medical background? Refresh our memory. Because I remember you told me, were you an EMT?
Before becoming a bedside nurse, I was a bedside nurse.
Oh, okay.
So I was a registered nurse, long-term care, memory care. Then I went over to one of the local hospitals and started working on a neuro unit. Mm-hmm. And then I was pushed into the doctorate program. So now I'm a board-certified geriatric primary care nurse practitioner.
I see.
Yeah, so I'm an advanced practice registered nurse.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's why we have you here. Yeah. You know what you're talking about.
I know some things, but I'm always learning.
Talking with Jesse Christensen. He has a business called Cannabis DNP. Your business doing okay?
It's doing great, actually. I just found out that I'm on a Reddit post, and which is absolutely amazing. I had no idea about that. A friend of mine just let me know right before I walked into the station here.
Really?
So I'm going to start getting on that. We're doing more markets, and it's going really well. I'm very happy and grateful to be able to do what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. And what about the bills that are before? So where does this stand? I mean, where are things going?
Nationwide, is going on? I know that these dispensaries seems like the solution that they're trying to push. I mean, the politicians are trying to push the dispensaries.
Sure.
And make it so if it does create some kind of high, if there's some level of,
John.
Turn that ringer off, man.
Help
how's
me,
that,
man.
How's
help
that
me.
Phone working out for you?
I'm new to phones. So,
somebody's trying to get a hold of you.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Emergencies.
Where were we? Sorry.
Dispensaries.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What about the movement in that direction? Is it possible to still have, the head shops, cannabis stores, but still have the hemp that produces any kind of high of any sort at a dispensary? Is there a separation of the two, or can there be a separation of the two?
The cool thing is you can have both.
Okay.
Other states are doing both. Right. Minnesota has less than 0.3% and more than 0.3%. I mean, hemp and cannabis are the same plant. It just all depends on when you cultivate it. It depends on the genetics, and it also depends on the environment. But it's the same plant. Mm-hmm. It just depends on when you're testing it. You can have both products.
Mm-hmm. And what about other products that are coming along here, like microdosing, the psilocybin and mushrooms? And is that going through legislation now? Is there any kind of law on this? Because I see there's one place that's got a big billboard up.
I know.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And they're talking about legal. It's the only legal mushroom place in the state or something like that.
So psilocybin, the magic mushroom.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of anything that helps you have a better day. I'm a huge fan that helps you get through your trauma. So psilocybin is known to help with PTSD and sleep and dreams and stuff of that nature. Microdosing is just one route of administration that you can give it without going overboard. Psilocybin is not a scheduled drug like cannabis is. So it's super easy to be able to run trials on it. It's super easy to cultivate it and do testing on it. It's not like cannabis that has this long stigma on it that makes people afraid. Mm-hmm. Even though psilocybin, if you do too much, you are out of your mind, literally. But it's just easier to work with, and the research is absolutely wonderful. So psilocybin can be very beneficial for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I still want to, we don't participate too many times in regards to taking a lot of this stuff because, we get up at 4:30 in the morning, so any kind of anything puts us to sleep immediately. But we are trying to at least, educate people in regards to this growing industry that's out there because, it crept up on everybody. It just sprung up overnight. I think, it feels like it was overnight.
Yeah. Well, and I get the feeling that you deal in your medical field, your medical background, because of who you've dealt with older folks.
Absolutely.
That you're finding some pathways that some of this can be really helpful for some people.
And I get that feedback all the time.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely wonderful. Yeah. So people that are at their wit's end, And they don't know where to turn. And they come and they try a taffy or something like that.
Or a gummy or something.
And we talk about dosing. And if you find a product that works for you and you're happy with it, stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are looking for something else, I'm always available to talk and chat and talk about dosing. It all comes down to product, dosing, and the person. Yes. So cannabinoid therapeutics is very personalized.
Okay. Just have a minute left, so if people want to get a hold of you or you know find out more, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can look at the website at CannabisDMP.com. That's D as in doctor, N as in nurse, P as in practitioner.com. You can find me at the Northside Farmers Markets for the next two Sundays, and then we're done. And then I'll be out at Beaver Dam the last Saturday in October, I believe it is. But you can always follow the Facebook post.
All right. Jesse Christensen.
I can't turn my phone down. What the hell
you
is
don't,
going
You don't
on?
Get to have
She's
that
getting
anymore.
A very important call.
I'm leaving it out in the parking ramp. Maybe it'll crush it when it collapses.
I think the Trump administration is trying to get a hold
of
you, perhaps.
Hijacked.
Yeah. Jesse Christensen, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again.
Thanks for having
soon.
Me back.
All right. We'll see you later.
It is 7:48. We're coming back with more of John and Gordy.
Who have we got next?
We've got Amy Horak.
Yes.
Join us next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Bright sunflowers lighting up the day, and they bring such happiness while they stay.
Towering high, such a wondrous sight. Won't you take my hand, we can share the
sunflowers. WMDX, John and Gordy, talking about sunflowers this morning,
It's a beautiful sunny start this morning.
But just a beautiful morning so far. It's going to be a nice day as well.
Yeah, we're going to get more clouds, though, and maybe some rain on the way tonight. I think we need the rain. It's been pretty
need the
dry
rain,
lately. Yeah. High today, about 64. Right now, it's a cool, we're in the upper 40s.
Yeah.
And Amy Horak joins us now from David J. Franks. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, guys. How's it going today?
Good. Am I right? Do we need rain?
Yeah, we've definitely need a little bit of rain this time of year, but in the fall, either way, the rain starts to slow down and it kind of triggers the plants and lets them know that, hey, the seasons are changing. There's less water, time to start relocating where our nutrients are. The leaves will start changing colors. The color's been progressively getting more and more beautiful by the week. So they're just, it's a good signaling time for the plants to know, like, hey, winter's coming, time to prepare ourselves, and just shut down for the season.
Now, you're with David J. Frank.
Yep.
And what do you do for them?
So I am one of their sales rep for the Madison area, but we do service the greater Milwaukee area as well.
Mm-hmm.
So helping people figure out just coming to your property, taking a look, and from a horticultural perspective, since I did go to UW-Madison to do my studies, I can definitely take a look, and along with our other sales reps, they can definitely help you assess your landscape to see what it needs from either a nutritional standpoint, if you want to do renovations to it, whatever it really needs to help get it to a healthier status, we can definitely assist with that.
Yeah, I actually had a visit from a horticulturist a long time ago when we first bought our home, and they went through the yard and pointed out trees that were kind of problematic and the better trees to keep and make sure you're taking care of them and trimming them. So, I mean, that was really a big help.
Yeah, it definitely is helpful. I know a lot of times, sometimes we plant more trees than are needed in a lawn just to sometimes have more chances of having good establishment and trees that are going to survive. Mm-hmm. But after a while, you do definitely want to thin them out. If trees are too close to each other, they'll start competing. It's really noticeable in pines or spruces if they're too close together. Those bottom branches will start dying off where the tree touches. They don't want to be that close. So you always have to remember, it's a little tree when you buy it and plant it. You have to think of the future when that tree is 30, 40, 50 years old. How big is it going to be? Don't put it right next to your house. Don't put it smack dab next to another tree that's going to get 50 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Well, you kind of brought it up here. You know, I have a couple Mugos out there, and one got needle blight. And as a consumer, I thought I could take care of that with a spray of some sort, but it really doesn't do anything at all, does it?
Depending on the kind of spray you use, like needle blights and different types of fungal issues, it's always best to prune out the most diseased or damaged branches. That way you're removing the actual cause of the infection. You're removing some of those fungal spores or bacteria or virus.
That returns then, right, the next year, doesn't it?
It can, if you prune it out and take like the damaged plant matter off your property, don't leave it there. Make sure you clean it out fully so that the diseases can't keep spreading. But if you spray it too, you want to make sure you keep up on spraying it one time and thinking it's going to be good. That's not always the case either. Mm-hmm. Making sure you keep up with it. Otherwise, diseases or insects can build up resistance to different chemicals that you use on them. And then you actually make it even harder to control the problem.
Okay. And then now this time of year, when people are mowing their grass, maybe one more time or a couple of more times before winter.
Yeah, Mike.
Do you mow it short? What's your suggestion on that?
You can definitely kind of mow it shorter, so that way it can help prevent any animal damage over the winter time. Mm-hmm. But definitely at this time too, I mean, once your grass is not growing anymore, and if you still want to use your mower with like a bagger on it to help mulch up the leaves and keep up with the leaf fall over the next couple of weeks, that's definitely an option too. Just because raking, you know, kind of your back hurts after a while of raking too long, unless you got like a leaf blower, and then to kind of make sure you have some earplugs so you don't go deaf the whole time.
Well, what about just mowing over the leaves and using it sort of as a mulch?
Yeah, can do that too if you don't want to pick them up. Yeah. It's nature's best fertilizer. The trees grow it all year long. It's natural. That's what the forest floor is naturally, you know, doing, is decomposing all of that organic tissue and just recycling it back into the earth. The earth is amazing at what it does, and it had a plan the whole time. So sometimes letting it do what it's supposed to do is a little bit better for everyone.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's one of those things now where everything is thinning out. You know, the trees are losing their leaves, the bushes are losing their leaves, and now everybody's yard looks really bad because of all the damage that took place over this summer. Now we have to kind of clean that up. Is that another big issue for people? You know, the trimming, maybe even edging of your lawn on the sidewalks.
Getting the power edging done this time, especially since it's nice and cool out. This is like perfect weather for outdoor labor, honestly. So if you need to do those last types of things, especially too if it's rained a little bit, it just makes that soil softer. It makes it a little easier on you to work on it. Yeah. So definitely getting those things cleaned up. And if you're someone that loves the bugs and birds, you know, sometimes just leaving that stuff in the yard too, really up to personal preference. Sure. If you want that clean manicured look, if you want that more natural scape to help feed pollinators and other insects.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you, really.
Well, thanks for giving me an excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
We appreciate it, Amy. If people want to find out more, how can they do that?
You can go to davidjfrank.com. And if you guys ever want to look for wintertime work, we also do snow removal. So if you want part-time employment with us, just to check it out, see how it goes. Otherwise, you can stick around for the spring, too.
Well, that's a great idea. Yeah.
John and I are always looking for part-time work. So
That's
okay. Snow is fun. It's a winter wonderland.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Lovely. I know.
Amy, thank you for joining us. That's Amy Horak from David J. Frank. And that's going to do it for us for today. Tomorrow, Mike McCabe will join us, as he does every Wednesday. John, have a great day.
Well, I will certainly try. And Dom, you too.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Answer that phone. What was that? We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, that was
somebody really trying to get a hold of you. All right.
I'm trying to get a charger at my home for my EV.
Yeah, we've heard about it. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.